What I'd like to say first, actually, is I think Adrian's sort of sitting there thinking, I think God's setting us up for something. And a lot of what Adrian has said sort of lays the, sort of is quite a good introduction. And what Chris said right at the end as well, I felt was a good introduction. What you made. And if nobody can remember it, don't tell them. He can't remember. I remember. Anyway. But I think God is. I feel God is saying something to us. So hopefully. Anyway, so I've been given John 21. In fact, what I was given was on the beach, John 21, so I've sort of made up the exact passage. So we'll go from 1 to 17. Who would like to read it? Simon's excuse.
From where to where?
1 to 17.
21, 1 to 17.
Read it
for us.
Thank you, Mike. Yes, please.
21, 1 to 17.
Yes.
John.
Yep.
Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realise that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you've just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep.
Thank you, Mike. Right, I want you to quickly write down, without looking at the passage again, three things that you can remember or jump out at you about the passage that we just read. London might have to quickly read it. Let's get three things from the passage that jump out at you. When you've done that, fold your bit of paper up. But you can't see it.
Hold it?
Yeah. Keep it safe.
Yeah.
So it's interesting what Adrian was saying earlier about things that affect how we come to the Bible. I don't know how many people know, but I'm a psychologist, so often I read things and then something goes, bang! This is what we've got a bit of today. It's a bit of something from my training that made me think, oh, that's interesting. So I'm sharing that with you this morning. Right, so I'm going to show you some pictures. And then I want you to tell me what you see. It's not an in-block test. I'll show it around. What do people see? See anything?
Boy.
A boy?
A young lady.
Lady, that would be something like chin, it's like the side of her face, like that. So a hair and a fat feather in her hair, there's a hair. It's an eye, it's a chin, that's like a little choker around her neck. Can you see it?
No.
Say
both of you. Don't look at the iPad, just carry on.
Old lady, you've got a big nose and a big chin. No. Anyway, let's move on.
Sorry. I was doing this as a group study for a thesis.
A young lady.
Not
flowers.
Cricket score did not come in for what we're doing this morning.
I'm disrupting the class.
Right, this one's quite funny.
Yeah. You
can get
your phone confiscated
from that table. Oh, Danny.
Which one?
About what we pay attention to, and I think Adrian brought that in this morning. What do we pay attention to? And our minds and the way our brains work, we actually program to pay attention to certain things. So generally what we'll pick up is the new things that are in the environment that might be interesting, pleasurable or dangerous. Those are the sort of things that our body is automatically programmed and our minds are automatically programmed to pick up. So it's got something, it's called your reticular activating system. So there you go. So you think you're paying attention to things, but are you really paying attention? So if I asked you now, what in this room pick something out that you can see, pay attention to. Picture.
Yes, we've already studied the picture.
Yeah.
Fireplace.
Okay.
Plant.
Yeah.
Plant.
Does anybody pay much attention to the floor?
No.
The wall? The wall?
The
glass in the window? And the thing is, you can't pay attention to everything because you'd be overloaded. So your body, you have to be able to filter out things and only particularly concentrate on certain things, or else you wouldn't actually be able to do anything. So you actually need. And there's some people who have something called ADHD who can't pay attention to too much and can't focus. So we do need to be able to narrow it down what we're paying attention to. But it's interesting, we've also got, and I haven't got all the scientific names, but really our brain works a bit like filing cabinets. So it takes information and it will file it, but we've got these pre-set up. So it's a bit like maybe you organise your computer files in a certain way and you have a headed box where you put things to order it, and you think, wow, that will fit in there and that fits in there. So we generally will just code things to fit in with how we expect things to be, and then it's just the extraordinary things that jump out at us. Okay, so keep that in your head.
Where do we
find it? File it. Okay, so when you're reading the Bible, what do you think that might say? Firstly, about what we as individuals pay attention to. So we might be, Adrian was talking about this morning, about past experiences, where we've come from, what we've learned about, will all be there, and we will use that to file, and we'll come to the Bible with lots of preconceived thoughts, ideas. Mm-hmm. And we need to be questioning those, maybe. Yeah. So I just want you to take a bit of time in sort of twos or threes and think about what might be the things that affect you when you read the Bible, what might be actually getting in the way. Maybe as things that you come to the Bible with. And then I want you to think about it as an individual, but also I want you to think about it as a community of people. What are our preconceived things as a community? Because we are all grouped together and we'll pay attention to that but not to that. We'll think about that but not about that. So there's two sort of little questions. They make any sense to you. What sort of things? And then we'll come back to the passage. You had a chat about that? So I was just wondering, if you went back now, thinking about the passage, and that sometimes we come to passages with a whole load of preconceptions, ideas, things that jump out at us. If you, now you're maybe thinking and aware of that and went back to the passage, can you pick another three things that you can see in the passage?
So it's that again,
are we allowed to look at it again?
You're allowed to look at the passage again. So go back to the passage and see if, thinking about what we just talked about in terms of the things that might draw you to particular things in the passage, and now you're aware of them. If you now read the passage again, are there other things that jump out at you? Can you pick another three things that you think, actually I didn't see that before because I was just going for, actually it's a miraculous catch of fish because I'm drawn by the miraculous. You know, are there other things actually that speak to us in this passage? That's just one example.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. If I ask, are your lists the same or different? Three things, we got three different things, or three different things? You're out. I think when I read the passage, what struck me when I was preparing was actually wasn't the miraculous stuff or the hugely significant stuff, because it's full of it, isn't it? It's got the risen Christ, you've got the miraculous catch of fish, you've got the reinstatement of Peter, you know, huge things going on. But God was just going to me, see his Galilee, what's that about? Fishing, what's that about? And those that, you know, I couldn't get away from them, and I was just going, couldn't find out, you know, the other bits. I was thinking, well, we do those, and we talked about those, and it was just, it came to me in the end, well, that was home, because that's where they lived. Yeah. They were doing their day job, which was fishing, and Jesus cooked them breakfast. And I was just thinking, God was just going ordinary, normal. The miraculous, it happens in the ordinary and the normal. And I've just been, you know, I think I've had a few months I've been speaking to her, actually is going to work in the ordinary and the normal. I think Dan's talk the other week was sort of like talking about blind spots, and then it was about homes. Well, how ordinary and normal is your home? But that is where God is going to be breaking out in the ordinary and the normal. And I've got, I mean, my silly thing is every day, not twice a day, I walk my dog. And I've just been praying, you know, this is where I'm going to meet people. Work through me walking Marley round the streets of Bin Hill. Sorry, that wasn't the Lord speaking through me about dogs.
That's not the only way to meet me,
Britt.
You don't have to meet me walking the dog. Well, I get lots of people talking to me about Marley, because he's this massive black dog with a big muzzle on, and everybody's always a bit like... Yeah, only if you're a cat. Or another dog. So, really, like, be interested to hear what other people got, because that's what I got really strongly out of it. And I just thought, let's share together what God. And I think it fitted with what Chris said. That was what fitted with what Chris said at the end of the last session, was about actually a lot of the faith comes in the everyday, and the praying that God's going to speak to you every day and work in the everyday, and the miraculous almost is easier than the normal.
I think my list, like you said, my first list was much more than the miraculous. My second was much more than normal. You know, I put down, come and have breakfast. You know, and it was very ordinary, every day, and that they were fishing and didn't catch anything, which I always think, surely they knew how to fish. They've been fishing on Galilee for years, haven't they? So why weren't they catching anything? Well, it's because Jesus was just working in the ordinary, wasn't he? Yeah, so my list definitely linked with what you were saying.
Yeah, again, it was one of the things, second time through, stuck out to me, was this just, I'm going out to fish. And it was almost, this is in the context of many of the miraculous signs that Jesus did. At the end of chapter 20. And it's just, I'm going to go and do what's safe and what's familiar and what is every day. And in that, Jesus met. In that, Jesus, in that context, Jesus actually did something that was pretty amazing. At the end of that, Peter was restored. And that, but it came out of very ordinary.
So it says Simon's son John, you know, three times, but why do you keep saying that?
Yeah.
It's a reminder to Peter of, Peter, you come from a family. You have, you had a mother, mother-in-law who was ill, whatever, didn't you? You have a family, you have a history. You did do this betrayal thing, and all of your past is... You don't run away from it. You don't wipe it out. The resurrection doesn't change it. It's happened. You embrace it and you accept it, and you know it's fine. That's who you are, and you live the resurrection life like you are, not like someone else, or not as as some spiritual ether. You know, it's you. That's how I'm living through you. Exactly the way you are. And we come to this passage, and maybe we're vegetarian, we don't like fish. That's fine. It's fine that we come with all our all the stuff that we've got.
That's
good. And embrace it. Let's have it.
My second list was affected by Sharon's reaction to the mooning. Because it was like, whoa!
And it asked a question. I asked my question. Why on earth did they not recognise it was Jesus on the shore? Because, hello, he's been with them for 3 years. They've tried not to let him out of their sight in case he missed anything. They've been with him day and night apart from a few occasions.
why did they not get it?
Mm.
And the question that came back to me was Sharon's reaction to the Mooney was, sometimes I don't see it, see Jesus in the everyday.
Yeah.
And I need to get that, whoa, there it is, right, there it is.
Yeah.
You know, rather than looking for the miraculous always, it's actually, he's been on the shore.
They've seen him three times since he's been raised from the dead.
So he hasn't physically changed that, or if he had, they'd had two chances to spot it before.
Yeah.
But it was that illumination moment, oh, Jesus is in this.
Yeah.
I need to keep my eyes open.
Yeah, me too.
There's lots of other weird questions, but that's the one that's
came to me a bit more the second time round. As you say, you're right, you've named it really, you go for the miraculous first, don't you, and then you see beyond that, was just the amount of pain that Peter was in the midst of this story, just that bit there. Peter was hurt, you know, and that hurt the third time, it wasn't just there, it was hurt all the way through, and the pain that, you know, you could almost, I could just feel it.
How many times did he deny Jesus? Was it three times?
Really?
Yeah,
it's a mirror image.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was sort of going back to that then. You denied me three times, I'm going to ask.
Giving you the opportunity.
Yeah.
I restore you three times.
But I mean, we kind of go, we want that. You know, my first one was, I want that miraculous catch of fish. You know, that must be a quick, easy fix to sort it out. And I think that's what I bring to these stories, is there must be a key here that will make my life easier. But actually, that pain in the midst of that, that Jesus is really, Jesus wasn't there for the miraculous catch of fish, he was there for Peter.
Mm.
And for his pain, and to restore him, and to change his heart, you know, to reach inside Peter and do something in that. Really, the miraculous catch of it is just a means to get all those
just get their attention, his attention.
Yeah.
And it's whatever job you do, you don't have to be official, which is good news.
He's probably just got to look after the sheep.
He changed his job, didn't he? From fishing to farming.
The funniest little thing that I saw, Jesus cooking the breakfast, and actually he'd already got the fish.
Yes. Mm.
And
the fire.
And everything already. He's already got it.
Yeah.
He can do all that miraculous, but actually, you just kind of step into him. We've got the bread, we've got the fish, haven't we?
I saw in verse 6 he said to throw your net on the right side of the boat.
Not the
left, or just
do it on the left.
Yeah, or don't just do it. It was very
specific.
Very specific. It had to be done his way to get the results. Because the implication of that is that the left side was mine.
Did we miss that because we didn't?
Yes. Yeah.
We go to
well, we just you don't hear
the whole
hear the whole word of God. We just hear the bit
that we want.
You know, go and put your net. Okay, on the right side.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why some things happen sometimes. We don't hear everything.
Wait on the
Lord. Very specific, isn't it?
Mr. Sat down counted them.
Some
room for us all.
He said it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. It's Jeff Lucas, I think it was, wasn't it?
That's it. He made quite a funny story.
He did make a funny story.
He got the answer to it, and what it meant was that the word.
It has a bit of authenticity to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
152, I never believed it.
No, I wouldn't have.
153.
It's an odd number. That's right. All the money, though.
Odd numbers, yeah.
Yeah,
but it was typical of fishermen to count the catch.
Oh, yes,
What was that?
Typical of fishermen to count the catch.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Because it meant money to them.
Yeah.
So doing the normal job, which is 153 times about, that's like $4,000 or whatever it is, or shekels, or whatever it is. they're in their mindset, which is you count up what you get, that means money.
One of the other interesting aspects of that, for me, comes back to throwing us on the right side of the boat, is they hadn't recognised it was Jesus at that point. So these are professional fishermen, they've been fishing all night, and some guy that they don't even recognise as Jesus says, come on the other side of the boat. But they did it.
Yeah.
And something happened as a result of doing that. And I wonder if, again, sometimes we miss out on things that God would do because we don't discern it and therefore we don't take any notice.
It wasn't just because Jesus had the vision for you.
No.
It was just some random guy who rocked up on the beach and went here.
At that point they hadn't recognised it was him, but I did. There was something in that. They responded to.
Well, we've tried everything else, we might as well just give it one
last. Well,
not really. Yeah, something might have stuck out, can't we?
All
right.
Yeah.
But no, I've never seen that before, the point you just made. Although, that actually it was before they recognised it was Jesus, they obeyed to throw the net on side.
Wasn't there a similar incident, though, previous to this? I wonder if they thought, this is happening.
Let's
just
see.
Oh,
I didn't
recognise his voice. But then it goes on to say they didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
Only when John went, ta-da!
But they didn't ask him, that's what I'm making it last, to be honest.
Yeah, I did me as well,
I thought.
They were afraid to ask. They wanted breakfast, that's why.
They would have been hungry.
Yeah. Well, I think that also when I was watching about the care of Jesus, that he would have known that they'd been able to recall them to come and have breakfast. But also, Peter.
I think it would be good just to pray about what God's spoken to us about.
Yeah.
So, if God really feels God's shown you something and you want to pray about it, please do. Father, I want to thank you that we can come to your word and all the time we see new things and think we know things and we think we've read it a million times, but still you speak to us in different parts of it in different ways, and I pray you'd continue that our whole lives. You continue to show us new things and Lord, we'd be more amazed by just the normal things and the things that are just, oh, that's, you know, I've not seen that before, I've not even bothered to, you know, it just seemed so normal, I didn't think about it, and I just pray you'd continue to help us to seek and to dig deeper and get past the need for the miraculous and the astonishing, but be able to look into the normal and the everyday. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. You kind of a humble heart to respond to advice, direction that comes from you, Lord, in ways that are unconventional, unexpected, through strangers or through family or through whatever, Lord, just to recognise your voice and that we might respond to you. To get fruitful,
yes.
Yeah. To reap the fruit.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you that in this passage we see parts of you as the good shepherd. You feed and you provide food, Lord, and warmth and instruction. You told them the way to go and what to do, and yeah, Lord, you met me, and thank you that you give us those things, Lord, that you guide us, that you speak to us, you provide for us. The Lord is our shepherd and he shall not want. I give you thanks for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're the restorer when we miss it. You're always ready to, when we're ready, you're ready to completely restore us.
I want to thank you too, Lord, that on the back of that, Lord, that you're our failure and our mess ups and our pain and our hurt do not disqualify us from your purposes.
Thank you, Lord.
But Jesus, you're really dedicated to each one of us.
Yeah.
And you're really bothered about our hearts and where we're at and the healing that we need and the restoration we need. And you're prepared to do all sorts of stuff really to that end, to bring us back to you, to heal us, to restore us. And I thank you for how you reach out to us, for your care to us. That isn't actually just really soft and gentle, but is determined to bring healing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, Father, I want to thank you too that we are never out of your sight, because just that picture of you standing on the shore and the disciples out there in the boat, seemingly struggling, Lord, not catching anything, but yet your eye was on them. They were not out of your sight. Even perhaps they felt, you know, that, I don't know, Lord, what they felt. You know, you weren't with them physically at that time, but yet you were. And I thank you that even when it feels that we can't see you, God, and we, you know, we're doing things and it feels as if nothing is happening, that you are there. And you give that command, you give that word, and things change. I want to give you thanks for that, Lord, that you are ever present in every situation, in every circumstance. God, you are there.
Yeah.
And I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father, that you're showing us that the miraculous can happen unexpectedly in the everyday walk of our lives.
Yeah, that's right.
In every single thing that we do. Maybe you're just alerting us to that and to have an expectation that in the mundane things that we do every day, you're interested in those things. You're interested in what we're doing and the people that we're meeting. But at the same time, Father, increase that expectancy, because you say in your work that
signs and wonders will follow those who believe. And so, Father, I expect to see the miraculous occur. I expect to see people healed. I expect us to have words of knowledge. I expect us to be able to change atmospheres. And I, for one, am frustrated that I don't see it happen enough. But maybe that's because I'm looking for something too big. Maybe we should just rest in you. And from the position of rest, understanding what you're doing in each of our lives. Thank you, Lord.
Father, I just ask that you keep surprising us as we go from here. You keep surprising us through your word, through the everyday, through where you are at work. And pray we'd be able to see it and hear it and know it. And help us not to be blind and deaf and just help us, Lord. It's so easy to get caught up in the everyday and not see you at work, and I just pray you'd give us that, help us to be earnestly seeking you. Amen.